but I appreciate the opportunity to preach. And when the Lord called me to preach when I was 15 years old, I told the Lord I'd go wherever you wanted me to go. And He's opened doors along the way, and I praise the Lord for an open door to preach. And we'll try to help you again tonight a little bit, and give you something to carry with you home, maybe carry you through the week, and give you a little bit of encouragement and inspiration. And I don't know, I told somebody not too long ago, I feel a little bit like the Lord just maybe gives me an opportunity just to try to help God's people, you know, go on, just to kind of help God's people just keep on keeping on. And I find myself a lot of times going to very practical applications of the Scripture. And, you know, I've heard some great men of God preach some very deep messages and some very good messages that were deep and theological. And I find myself a lot of times going to some of them very simple applications of the Word of God. And there's nothing wrong with either one of them. And you know, I think sometimes my little mind, it's about all I can comprehend is the simple practical application of the Word of God. And a lot of times when I try to get any deeper than that, that's where I mess it up. And I certainly don't ever want to get out of the context of the Word of God. So I want to just give you just a practical application of God's Word tonight. If you will, turn with us to the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 10. My family's heard this message before at the church, and I apologize to them for that. But as I was praying and just searching, I couldn't get my heart off of this. And I think the last time I preached it, or the first time I preached, I don't think I got it all preached out of me. And maybe it'll be a little bit of a help to y'all. And, you know, Brother Jack was talking about the beggar. We'll talk a little bit about the beggar here in blind Bartimaeus. And very familiar, very, very familiar verse of Scripture. And with the Lord's help, we'll talk a little bit about coming out of the darkness, coming out of the darkness. You know, no secret that Bartimaeus was blind. Now, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about Bartimaeus, doesn't say a whole lot about Timaeus, his daddy. And as a matter of fact, Timaeus is only mentioned once in the Word of God. You know, I'm not sure. I don't know a whole lot about Timaeus' background. And God didn't take the time or see fit to tell us a whole lot more about Timaeus. And if you look up the definition of Timaeus by most Bible dictionaries, they'll say that you'll find it said the father of Bartimaeus. And that's about as far as they go with the definition of the name Timaeus. But if you look at the root word or the root of the name Timaeus, you'll find it being time. Time. And I don't know about you, but really probably some of the most valuable things to us on a daily basis is our time. And I work in a very stressful job, and time is of an essence. Time is precious, and it takes a lot of time sometimes to do a lot of what we do. But you see the root of Timaeus being time. You find that describes something that's very dear. If you dig into that Timaeus and that root, there's some that dissect that name this way, in that it means that it's very dear. Of great value or highly prized. Highly prized. You find that Bartimaeus, the basis for his name was his daddy's name. He was Bartimaeus. Now, no doubt he was named after his daddy. And there's some significance there. You see the spelling's the same. You see the conjugation there of the A and the E in Bartimaeus and Timaeus. There was no way that Timaeus could deny that Bartimaeus was his. Now, the Bible doesn't go into any sort of description in terms of them looking alike. Does it tell us if Timaeus perhaps was blind himself? Don't know if Bartimaeus had any brothers. Don't know all of that. Don't know if maybe perhaps it was a hereditary thing. We don't know if Bartimaeus was blind at birth or if he was blind by some sort of accident or some sort of condition that may have brought upon his blindness. But we do know that he was blind. And I thought about Timaeus at this time. The Bible doesn't even tell us if Timaeus was still around at the time of this scripture, at the time of Bartimaeus being by the highway side. Not sure if Timaeus, I kind of think Timaeus may have been out of the picture around this time. Not sure if Timaeus had gone on or if he was still around. Not sure if Timaeus maybe had made sure that he was if he had made sure that Bartimaeus was by the wayside. Or if Timaeus may have been a man of means and had made sure that Bartimaeus was put in a place that he would be by and somewhere that he could get some help, or that somebody might drop him a handful of something along the way. But you find Timaeus being highly prized. And I'm here to say tonight that the lost man, the blind man, those that are in darkness, they're highly prized. If you're here tonight and you're saved or you're lost, you're highly prized. And we're highly prized by nature of the price that was paid for us. Heard somebody say to me, somebody reached out to me not too long ago and said, "I just feel absolutely worthless." And a quote that came to mind was, that you may not be worthy or feel worth anything, but you're not worthless because a high price was paid for your soul. The fact that Christ was the price paid for you means you will never, ever be worthless. And Bartimaeus was, while he was blind, he was probably no good to anyone. I'm sure he felt as if he was no good to even himself. But he was highly prized. He was of value. He was just one that was by the way. He was by the way doing probably what he had done for some time. I figure Bartimaeus probably felt like that there was not a lot of hope for his life. And, you know, you mentioned Jack going to the mission. I'm sure a lot of those men and a lot of those that go in and out of those doors, they don't feel like there's anything's ever going to change. They don't feel like there's ever going to be anything different. They feel like their lot in life has been sealed, and that the condition they're living in, many of them under the bonds of addiction, and all the things that they deal with, they feel like that's their destiny. They're destined to live that way. We haven't been in some time due to the COVID protocols and rules, but when we were going to the jails in Lumpkin County and Dawson County, many of those men, they feel bound to that lifestyle. They feel like that there's no hope and there's no way out. And some of them have gotten saved, and God's changed some lives of those men and put their homes back together. And you try to tell those that have gotten saved and given their heart to God that there is a way out of their darkness. There's a way out of the blindness that they live in. And my heart hurts for those that I work with, and some of my direct reports, and others that I come in contact with. They're in darkness. They're in bonds. They're blind to their sin. They're blind to the things of God. And our heart as a child of God ought to break for those, because we know, we understand the worth, the price that was paid for us. We understand the fact that they're blind, and we have the way out of their sin. We have the way out of their darkness, and we ought to see them as just that, highly prized. Something of value. They're valuable. They're valuable. And it's hard, I think, a lot of times as we see folks make decisions after decision after decision, that that leads them further and further into darkness. And we tend to lose patience and we get frustrated. But we need to realize that God sent His Son for them, just like He sent His Son, just like He sent Him for us. They're valuable. That proves their value, their worth, and the necessity to reach out to them. So we see the importance. Notice there it says, and they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now, there's nothing and nowhere did Jesus go in the Scripture that was haphazard. There was nothing that was not of necessity. It was of a plan. And just so happened, Bartimaeus was there. Now, we know better than that. We know Bartimaeus was where Bartimaeus was supposed to be. He had a divine appointment. I'm thankful the night that I got saved, I didn't realize I was in darkness. But I had a divine appointment, a place that I was to be, that the Lord intended to meet with me. He intended. He came by my way and showed me a way out of my darkness. And I got saved at 9 years old. I'd not known the gross sins of life. I'd been taken to church every time the doors were open, camp meetings, revivals, you know, everywhere. Mom and Dad used to go to the Greer camp meeting, drag me up there and drag me all over. And I knew nothing but the house of God. But I was in just as much darkness as those that had known the gross sins of this life. And I needed Him. And there was a divine appointment. So you find that there was a divine appointment for Bartimaeus here in this Scripture. Now I want us to notice in 47 and 48, let's read those two verses. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now you'll notice that Bartimaeus realized that he needed mercy. Bartimaeus was not pointing fingers. He wasn't saying, I'm blind because of. He didn't elaborate. He was just saying, I need some mercy. Verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I want us to see the insistence on the part of Bartimaeus. He was insistent. He was begging. He was showing his desperation. If you show me a lost man that's desperate for a change, he's desperate for the hand of God in his life, and I'll show you a lost man that can be saved. If they're desperate, if they get to a point of desperation, the challenge that I found as we've dealt with some of the men in the prison, in the jails and others, and even at the mission and lost folks, when they're hanging on, when they feel like they've, well, I've got this option, I've got that option, I'm trying to do better, I'm in this program or that program, until they realize God's the only hope they have, you find that it's very, very difficult to pull them out of the darkness that they're in. It's very, very difficult for them to seek the light of God when they're trying to find light everywhere else. But what did Bartimaeus say? He said he was begging. He showed his desperation. I'll ask you tonight, even when it comes to the things in our life where we need the touch of God, how desperate are we? Are we willing to beg? Are we willing to cry out? Are we willing to lay on our face before God? Whether it's in the altar, whether it's in the prayer room, whether it's by the bedside, whether it's in the middle of the night on our face before God, are we willing to beg? Are we in begging shape? And I think Bartimaeus was in begging shape. He had no doubt, I believe, probably had heard what Jesus had already done. He had heard the stories of those that had already been made whole, those that had already been healed. And he said, he's the only one that can help me. I believe he had lived a hopeless life to this point. And if you can imagine not having your sight, and imagine what life would be like without your sight, without the ability to see, Without the ability, you know, and if you close your eyes and you try to imagine going through your day with your eyes closed and trying to function. And here Bartimaeus was, no doubt. I figure he probably was poorly kept. He didn't have any ability to see his own condition. Didn't have any ability to look at himself in the mirror and see how poorly kept he was. He didn't have any way to find his way. You think about the heartache, no doubt, and the conditions that he was living in. And I'll ask you, here in this situation, you find that Bartimaeus said he began to cry out. Didn't say he just asked, but it said he cried out. He began to cry out. I believe the Lord's looking for some earnest cries. He's looking for some earnesty on the behalf of the child of God. He's looking for some earnesty on behalf of the lost man that's lost and needs the Lord. And when the Lord draws, if you show me somebody that's willing to cry, somebody that's came with a broken heart and a broken spirit, it seems like they pray through so much easier. Seems like they get to God so much easier when they're broken. When they're broken. I've watched them in the jails. They put up their front. And they're trying to be tough. And they're trying to put on that exterior that they've employed to get them through life to that point. But when they break and when they're broken and you see they're broken before God and they're willing to beg, when they get in begging shape, and you'll find that that Bartimaeus was in begging shape. You may be here. I look around this audience. It's probably safe to say the majority are saved. But if you're here tonight and lost, you'll have to get in begging shape. You'll have to get to where you're willing to beg God to save you, where you're willing to admit your sin and say, I'm blind and I'm in darkness and I need help. And that's what Bartimaeus was saying. I've got to have help. He cried aloud for the touch of God. He cried aloud. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. What did he do there in the last part of verse number 48? He called and reverenced the Lord for who he was. He acknowledged the holiness of God. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. He said, touch me. I need your mercy. He needed some me mercy. I want you to notice verse number 48 again, that he was intentional. That he was intentional about where he was. He said about where he was and who he wanted to see. In verse number 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David. He knew he was intentional about who he wanted to see. Now, no doubt, there was a large crowd. I thought about the crowd. I've been in many large services. I've been in many services with a great number of people. But you show me a lost person that they get desperate enough, they don't care how many's there. They don't care how many's there. They just need the touch of God. They know that God's the only hope they got. You know, Bartimaeus, he couldn't see the crowd anyway, but I'm sure he could hear them. I'm sure he had to know there was a large crowd. I figure pretty much anywhere Jesus went, he drew a crowd. And he drew a loud crowd, I'm sure. And I'm sure there was probably others. The Bible doesn't elaborate here, but I figure there was probably others crying out to Jesus. There was probably others that were trying to get a glimpse, get some time with him, get some time with the one that done the great miracles, get some time with Jesus. But Bartimaeus knew who he needed to see. Didn't ask for a dignitary. He didn't ask for somebody in the crowd of high status. But he asked for Jesus. He asked for Jesus. Going along the lines of what we talked about this morning. Regardless of what our government does, we've got to realize that we're not answering to them. We're answering to the Lord. And we need the Lord. So regardless of their status, we got to realize we need God. And he was intentional. He was insistent. And he was intentional. But I want you to notice in verse number 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Notice that the Lord stood still. I've been in some great services. I've been in some high ones. I've been in some low ones. Been in some in between. I've been in some of the sweetest, stillest services where God's done some of the greatest work. Excuse me, as in some of the still and quiet services where the Holy Spirit was moving, people was afraid to breathe, afraid to offend God, afraid to... We've been in some awfully sweet and still services. The stillness of God in those still times. And it said here in the first part of verse number 49, and Jesus stood still. I think about the times we're in today. Things have slowed down. Restaurants have closed. Stores have closed. Folks have stayed home. Things have just slowed down in general. There's just been some... we're in a different day. And probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, if you'd have told me what was coming and how things would go about, I probably wouldn't have believed you. But we're in some times, I wonder, it's almost as if the Lord said, we're just going to slide it over in neutral for a minute and slow things down. And I think about the stillness of God and the value of those still times. And what are we supposed to learn? What in this time of stillness are we supposed to learn? And that's what I've been trying to ask God. God, what am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to get? What am I supposed to garner? What, you know, in this slow time, in this stillness, when things have slowed a bit, what are we supposed to learn? What are we supposed to get? And I thank the Lord for the still times, the times that He's spoken to me, the still times when I sit down with my Bible and when I read and when I pray and I ask the Lord in those still times, Lord, what is it? What are we supposed to learn from the stillness? I'm thankful here that it didn't say Jesus continued on, but it said He stood still. I believe the Lord's listening. I believe that indicates even above the crowd, even above the loudness of the time. No doubt it was probably chaotic there around them. But it said when He heard that cry, and Jesus stood still. There was a recognition that one was calling on Him. He said, and what did Bartimaeus say? Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. The Lord knew His name. And when He heard it, it said He stood still. I think about as Jesus stood still, I wonder what those in that crowd thought. Wonder what they thought. Here they were moving along and now Jesus has stopped and stood still. I believe when Jesus stopped, the rest of them probably stopped. Amen. When He stopped, the crowd, I can just almost hear the hush that came over that place. The hush, when Jesus stopped, and I think about some of those still services we've been in that you can hear pins drop. I believe when Jesus stopped, the whole crowd stopped. It got quiet. And what did He say? And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. So there was a call. I want you to notice there that after Jesus stood still, there was a call. After the stillness came the call. After the stillness came the call. When we're alone with God and we're asking the Lord for some things and we're in those still times, might be a good idea to listen. Might be a good idea to turn our ear to Him and say, Lord, just listen. Just listen for the call. When I come in church and sit down and listen to the preaching, listen to the singing, I get involved in the service and the man of God stands to preach, I believe I'd be listening. You've taken it. You've taken the time to come to the house of God. You've taken the time to come in here and sit down. You've carved out the time. You've set it aside. And you've come in and you've sat down. While you're here, I'd be listening. While I'm sitting still in the house of God, I'd be listening. Life's so busy. Riding down the road, and yeah, you can listen to the Bible, you can listen to good gospel singing, you can pray without ceasing, ride down the road with the eyes open, I hope, and pray, and you can do what the Word of God tells you to pray without ceasing, have a heart of prayer. But what about that time that you set aside on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and revival time, the time that you've set aside to be still, and to listen. And listen for that call and say, God, what is it? What do you want? I think we're a lot like Bartimaeus when we come to church, or when we come to the house of God. We may not walk in the door shouting, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." But our hearts ought to be saying that to the Lord. Our hearts ought to be crying out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, what do you have for me? Jesus, I need your touch. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need something from the Lord." And I think a lot of times folks are coming, they're here, but they're not here. They're here, but they're not here. When you're here, be here. And have your mind and your heart here and seeking, saying, "Lord, what is it that you want?" But you'll find that what happened after the stillness was the call. And when it happened in an instant. When the Lord does something, what did He say? He said, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Be of good comfort, rise, he calls thee. It happened in an instant. I want you to notice in verse number 50. What happened after the call? There was a casting away. And he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. And he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. I was reading a little bit about this, and they say that many of the beggars in that time, they were marked by their garments. They were marked by the garment they wore. Many times it was tattered. They couldn't see it. They didn't know what it looked like. Many times it was torn. It was dirty. It was filthy because of the conditions they lived in. But as he cast away that garment, it said he rose and came to Jesus. There was a casting away of that old garment. And what did Hebrews 12 say? It said, "Let us lay aside." There's some things that need to be put aside. When we come to the house of God, there needs to be some casting away that occurs to get our heart and our minds in the condition to hear and to be fed and to be touched and for the Lord to work. And I think a lot of times we bring that baggage in. Our minds are outside the house of God when we're here, and we're not getting a thing. We're not getting anything because we're not focused on the message. We're not focused on the service. We're not truly seeking. We brought that baggage in where we ought to just took and threw it in the ditch and left it there and not even pick it back up. But I believe, and I thought about there as he cast away that garment, and we're getting to the good part here where he gets his sight. But I wonder what he thought when he saw that garment. When he saw that garment, maybe for the first time. When he saw how rotten and dirty and tattered, but when he got his sight, he said, "My, oh my, I once wore that. I once wore that, but look what the Lord did for me. I praise the Lord that I was once clothed in my rags and my sin, but he saw fit to save me." Hey, man, he saw fit to save me and forgive me and to cleanse me and apply that blood, give me a home in heaven. I tell you what, I may have marked up this old body with sin since I've been saved more than before. Hey, but I'm still saved. I'm saved by the grace of God. The blood's applied. But there's a casting away of that old garment. I'll ask you tonight, what do you need to cast away to get to Him? You may say, "Well, I'm saved." Yeah, but what's standing between Him and you? If the Lord were to walk through here tonight, if He were to physically appear here tonight, what would be between you and Him? When He called, what would you need to cast away? Would you have to come spend 30 minutes in the altar? I believe most of us, if we were honest, we probably would. We'd have to come spend 30 minutes there, an hour in the altar, just to get some things cast aside so we can get to Him. We're not even in communicating shape, really. And I spend a lot of times when I pray, I say, "Lord, forgive me for this, forgive me for that, forgive me for this," just to try to get in the condition to pray. Just to try to get in the condition to get through to God. But there was a casting away. There was a casting away. I want you to notice there was an inquiry in verse number 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Now, of note, the Lord never asks a question that He doesn't know the answer to. He knew the answer. He knew what Bartimaeus needed. He knew he was in darkness. He knew he needed physical healing. But the Lord wanted to know if he knew what he needed. And I believe the Lord sometimes asks us those questions to see if we know what we need, to see if we're in the condition to get the help we need. Many times I think we try to play games with God, and we try to hide this and hide that. And the Lord knows. He's just waiting for you to get in the position to do business with God. And he asked Bartimaeus that question. There was an inquiry. God wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear it from you. I'm thankful we serve a Lord that wants to have a personal relationship with us. And so much so that he wants to hear the petitions from us. When that veil was rent from the top to the bottom and that petition was gone, and that incense went off of that altar, the Lord said, I want to hear from my child. He wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear what you need. He wants to hear your petitions. He wants to hear your heart condition. He wants to hear it from you. He wants to communicate with you. I'm thankful we've got a dear man at the church that was raised Catholic and was saved out of the Catholic religion, out of the Catholic Church. And he testifies often. And he says, I'm thankful that I don't have to go to the priest. I'm thankful that I can go boldly to the throne of grace and I can talk to my Father myself. Amen. And I praise the Lord that I can talk to him. Amen. So Bartimaeus, in his blind state, realized that he needed the Lord. He could talk to the Lord himself. And I think Bartimaeus, one that had probably had to be led. Now, I know some blind folks that they function fairly well. And they obviously they can't drive, and there's some things they can't do. But they learn how to function. But I think about Bartimaeus in his condition. No doubt he probably had to be led. He probably had to ask folks a number of things, and he was in a condition, just a poor way. But the Lord said, what is it that you need? And I'm here to tell you tonight, before Bartimaeus could see God with his eyes, he had to see the Lord first in his heart. He said, I have a need. You know, it's pretty simple tonight, and I think sometimes it's good for us to deal in the simplicity of God's Word, in the simplicity of His grace, the simplicity of His mercy. He just wants to hear it. He's listening to hear you say, Lord, I have a need. He's simply listening and asking. He wants to hear you say, I have a need. He wanted to hear it from Bartimaeus. Not that he didn't know, but he wanted to hear it. Before Bartimaeus could see him with his eyes, he had to see him as the one that was capable to deal with his problem. He had to see the Lord with his heart, and he said, I have a need. Lord, that I might receive thy sight, that I might receive my sight. He didn't embellish it. He didn't go around the corner. He didn't just try to beat around the bush about it. He said, I have a need. And he said, Lord, that I might receive thy sight. Number one, there was the acknowledgement of who he was talking to. He called him Lord. There was the reverence of the one that he was standing before. He had not laid his eyes on him, but he knew what Jesus had done. His faith was applied before the healing work ever happened. I'm thankful when I asked the Lord, when I knelt on the left side of that church, if you're standing in the pulpit on the left side of that church, right there on the corner of the pew in Grace Baptist Church, Canadian, Georgia, when I was 9 years old, and I asked the Lord, said, Lord, save me. That's all he wanted to hear. That's all he wanted to hear. Said, Lord, I'm lost. Don't want to go to hell. Forgive me of my sins and save me. And I've not been the same since. He just wanted to hear me cry. He wants to hear the cry of the child of God. And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. So there was the inquiry on the part of the Lord. The Lord's inquiring. He's saying, do you realize you've got a problem? What is it that you need? What is it that you need? When you deal with a lost soul, you deal with somebody under conviction, ask them a question. Just ask them. What is it you need? If they say, well, if I could just get out of jail. No, that's not what I ask. What is it that you need? Well, if things would just work out with my lawyer. No, that's not what I ask. What is it that you need? And if they can get to the point where they realize that they need the Lord, that's what of course, they're all savable. I'm not saying that, but I'm just telling you, they get to the position, Brother Jack, where they can, where they say, I need the Lord. They'll get in. It's happening pretty quick when they get to the point where they say, I need Him. I need Him. And we are unfortunately in a society today that it's everybody else's fault but theirs. And it's every external environmental issue but them. They're not the problem. Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm the problem, and I know I'm the problem. The Lord's not the problem. My sin's my sin. And you get to where you realize that you know what you need, and you need Him, and you need His touch. That's where Bartimaeus was. He knew he needed to come out of the darkness. You know, I thought Timaeus, no matter how much he loved Bartimaeus, there was nothing he could do to fix his blindness. He could have given him everything in the world. He could have fed him every day. He could have took and bathed him every day. He could have put him in the finest palace. He could have put him in just the most glorious place. But he couldn't fix his darkness problem. He couldn't fix his blindness. He couldn't take him out of the darkness. You know, I often thought about the heartache maybe that a parent deals with. And I know, you know, physical issues. When you have children that have physical issues, you can't fix it. You can't fix it. Bartimaeus couldn't fix it. I think about parents that maybe some that have raised their kids in church and they've turned their back on God. They can't fix it. They want to fix it, but they can't fix it. The only one that can fix it was the Savior. The only one that could fix it was the Son of David. The only one that had the power. He knew He was standing in front of them. When somebody gets to that point and they realize the Lord's their only hope, they can be saved. God can do it. And He said He would. Notice that it happened immediately. Notice it says, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You know, when God does it, it's immediate. That saving is immediate. It's not something that happens over time. It's not something somebody works their way to. It's immediate. Now, God may work on somebody for a while, and He may put them through the tumbler. I had an uncle, my mother's sister's husband. He's dead and gone now, but he used to reload rifle cartridges. And he'd take those rifle cartridges and put them in a tumbler with sand and stone and polish them and clean them up, you know, get the tarnish off of them, and they'd sit and tumble and tumble and tumble. When they come out, they'd look like bright, shiny brass fresh out of the box. You know, sometimes the Lord has to put us in a tumbler. He may tumble us for a little while. He may work on us for a little while. He may knock some rough edges off for a minute. But when it comes to when the saving work happens, it's immediate. And he said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Out of the darkness. Bartimaeus was blind. And in that short time, these short 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 verses here, in these 7 verses, and if Brother Howard Payne was here, he'd clear his throat about that number 7. And make sure I didn't miss that was 7 verses, and how perfect the Word of God is in the number 7. But that immediate work, He brought him out of the darkness, and it happened immediately. Hey, you may have somebody on your heart tonight. There may be somebody. You may have a lost loved one. You may have somebody, they're not physically blind, but my, they're blind. They're lost without God. Maybe they're seeking the almighty dollar. Maybe they're so focused on everything else they can't see their sin. I've heard folks say, well, they got a good heart. I know a lot of good-hearted people. I know a lot of good people that need the Lord. You know, you might have somebody that's running. You might know somebody that's running headlong in sin. They know they are, and they don't care. They need God, too. They need God. And if they're in the darkness, it's our responsibility to get them to God. I don't know who got Bartimaeus to that point. I don't know if he'd just always been there. I don't know if Timaeus said, maybe on his deathbed, maybe he'd ask the neighbor, say, can you promise me to get Bartimaeus to the begging spot every day? Can you promise me just to get him? Can you promise me that you'll get Bartimaeus to where he can get a few handfuls every day? I'm not going to be around to take care of Bartimaeus anymore. Could you make sure you get him by the way? Who is your Bartimaeus that maybe the Lord said, can you get him by the way? Who did the Lord leave to you to get him by the way? To make sure that he's in the place to where that he can meet with the Lord. In the place that he can, to where the Lord is. The Lord's given you a great place here on the hill. Giving you a great, beautiful church. Gave you a good pastor. Who is it that you need to maybe swing by on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, Sunday night and beg them to come to the house of God? Who is it that maybe you're supposed to pick the phone up and call and say, I love you and the Lord loves you. And I'd love to see you come to Jesus. Would you go to church with me? Who is it? Brother Jack talked about printing the tracts. And Brother Dennis Dill's been doing that for how many years? As long as I can remember. I'm 43, and he was doing it when I was a boy, as long as I can remember. And I've went up and helped him some in the past and sat with him. And those tracts that might land in somebody's hand, and they'd read it and realize, and some light come out of that scripture, some light come out of that Word of God in that tract, and somebody realized that the darkness that they're in. Listen, we're in a dark, dark world. And I Bartimaeus knew he needed the Lord. I believe Bartimaeus had two problems. He was physically blind, and he was lost. And he needed the Lord. Again, I don't know that much about Timaeus. I went into great length about that. And for some reason, the Lord chose not to tell us much about, really anything about Timaeus, other than that Bartimaeus was his son. But somehow, he got by the way. And he was by the way, and Jesus came by his way and brought him out of the darkness. Listen, nobody's hopeless. Nobody's worthless. They're worth it. They're worth the price that was paid for their soul. And it's our responsibility to help them realize. It's our responsibility to help them realize that they need a way out of their sin. They need to come out of the darkness. And there is a way out. There is a victorious way out. If they'll just accept it. If they'll just trust Him. If they'll just trust Him. Hey, it breaks my heart. It does. It breaks my heart. I think about, you know, as I thought about Timaeus and Bartimaeus, I thought about, we were talking about Brother Billy Burrell before service. When he's gone, what's going to happen with his daughter? Special needs. I'm sure they have a plan, but nothing will be like, you know, Brother Billy's wife went to be with the Lord not a year ago, 2 years ago, something like that. And what's going to, you know, you think about a child with special needs when that parent is gone. He had special needs. Bartimaeus had special needs. And oh, he got everything he needed that day. He got everything. His physical ailment changed. The saving grace came right here and saved him and gave him a home in heaven. Hey, it might not have changed where he went to live. I don't know if Timaeus, he may have lived in a fine palace that he could never see. Or Timaeus may have left him nothing but a shack. But he got everything he needed that day. He got everything he would ever need and more when he met the Savior. And when he acknowledged his need and when he acknowledged the Lord for who he was and presented his faith and put his faith in the Lord, and the Lord saved him and gave him his sight and brought him out of darkness. Who is it? I want you, if you will, Brother Dave, if y'all will, come and piano.